Hi, this is Vidya Balan, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hi, everyone. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, a conversation with actor Vidya Balan. Stay tuned. You know, you see a lot of people, especially at the beginning of the year, come out with lists of what's in and what's out. Some popular ones that I've seen so far: staying hydrated, animal prints, and early bedtimes, all in. Oversharing, oat milk, and filler conversation, all out. For what it's worth, no filler conversation here, and to be honest, hopefully listening to this podcast stays in with you. And I'm quite grateful to you for listening and sharing it with your friends, and for following along on social media. I'll tell you what typically never goes out of style or fashion, and that's being genuine and relatable. It's likely the first thing that draws many to the work of Vidya Balan. Vidya is a pioneering and award-winning Indian film actor known for her versatility, integrity, and finesse. She's been celebrated for her authentic portrayals of women in a wide range of roles, from the complex or energetic to the vulnerable and even subdued. She's been acting for over 20 years and has won awards and accolades for films like Parinita, Ba, Ishkia, The Dirty Picture, Kahani, Tumhari Sullu, Mission Mangal, and Sharani. But beyond the achievements and success, perhaps what's most compelling about Vidya Balan is her ability to stay true to herself, allowing a crystallized focus on her work and a great feeling of empowerment about the things she cares about, basically filtering out the noise and focusing on the signal. And this rings true particularly when considering things like being content and measuring success, especially in the public eye, and that dance between privacy and sharing in a very front-facing environment. I was grateful to share some time with Vidya, talking about everything from the frameworks of celebrity to being at peace with herself to preparing for various roles. But we started by taking a little bit of time to talk about what people's impressions and maybe surprises are when they first meet her.
I think what I've heard from a lot of people is, oh, you're like so easy to talk to. You're so relatable. You have no airs. You're just like us. I think that's the crux of it, right? I think that's what happens with celebrities. You go by what they, especially actors, you go by what they do on screen, by the characters they portray on screen. You begin to feel that you know them. Also celebrities, not just actors.
Yeah.
You begin to, I think you feel that you know them, but you don't really know them till you know them. So when you meet them, you're expecting, I don't know, just something else, an otherworldly person or something, you know, but we're all like blood and bones.
You know, and are people actually surprised by that? Do they expect that you are somebody just larger than life, and yet, you know, when they meet you, that, wow, this is somebody who I can actually share an easy conversation with? And
yeah, you know, it works both ways. They've seen you on screen, so they firstly assume you are the character you're portraying, you know? So there is those lines between the actor and character sort of get blurred. And therefore, they begin to associate traits with you that actually don't necessarily belong to you. So there could be a great deal of relatability or otherwise. So, you know, so they think that they know you.
Yeah.
They know you. And therefore, when they meet you and they see you and they begin to get a sense of who you are, even if it's for 30 seconds, you know, a one-on-one interaction is completely different from a one-sided interaction.
Absolutely.
Which is what audiences have.
Right.
You know, so then when that interaction happens, I think they realize that, oh, you know, maybe you're not the characters you play, or you're not the way you come across on screen or in social media or wherever.
Right.
And I think that's interesting, because And they're, I don't know, they're expecting you to be as relatable in person. That also, that gets very tough sometimes. And sometimes they just expect you to be, I don't know. I was going to use a word which I know I can't use in a podcast, but you know, they're expecting you to not be nice.
You can actually if you want to.
Okay. But then, you know, they're expecting you to be tight-assed. And, then they realize that, no, you know, you're just...
You're human.
A regular person. And this is the job I do. I enjoy the perks of it. I enjoy the fame it's brought me. I'm very grateful for it. I bask in it. But, you know, that is a job I do at the end of the day.
Right, right. You know, with that, you know, you mentioned, and, you know, to a degree, I have to admit that, you know, when I go into a patient room or I see patients newly every 15 minutes, I have no idea who they are. I have no idea what to expect. And they might have a very dramatic impression of what a doctor does. And
the
whole idea is we try and relate to each other on some kind of common ground. I'm curious about this word relatability, because it's something that for you, it sounds like you take a lot of pride in. And with that same idea, does being relatable actually come from a very deep commitment to having empathy?
I don't think it's a conscious commitment to having empathy. That's who I am. But yes, on a bad day, I think, yes, that commitment to empathy does kick in, because you realize that this person is going to be meeting you for those 30 seconds in their life. And that's the impression they're going to carry with you.
Right.
You
may
be in a foul mood. You may be unwell. But, you know, a small smile goes a long way. A small hello, how are you? And those are the times when I just have to, my game face is on, you know?
Yeah.
It literally is. But there are times when I don't even have the energy to indulge that. I've just had a very hectic schedule, or I don't know, I'm in a bad mood, or I'm not feeling up. And on most of those days, I do make an effort, but sometimes I don't have it in me to make that effort. And then I let it be, because I'm also human.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, being human and being relatable and, you know, having good days and bad days, I think that requires, you know, in some ways, empathy from the other person, given the fact that it's part of your persona. It's being authentic to who you are. Does that, you know, conscious or even unconscious ability to have that empathy at all times, or at least at most times, does that actually translate to your craft in being a better actor?
I would think so. I think, you know, when you have empathy, I'm sure that makes you a better doctor.
I hope,
you know,
right.
I'm sure. I wouldn't know if it really is 2 + 2 = 4 in that sense, if it works like that. But I do think, because when you need to walk in another person's shoes while playing a character, you need that empathy. You need the lack. You need a space where there is no judgment, and that only comes with empathy.
Right. You know, I've been thinking a little bit about dissecting even your professional career in a way that, you know, has really reflects someone who's had a very non-linear pathway with your characters, and your roles have been quite diverse. When I think about this, does it make it any tougher, therefore, because you're just being yourself, and yet you're continuing to perfect your craft. Does it make it a little bit tougher to define what success actually means to you then?
Well, you know, I must tell you that success really means different things to me on different days.
Sometimes
it's just getting through a scene that I've dreaded since I've read the script. Sometimes, like I said, you know, there are lots of variables on set. And on a certain day, it might be just not letting those variables get the better of you. For example, you know, the camera has a glitch and you have to keep retaking the same shot. Maybe it's an intense scene. Maybe what I mean by intense is requires a lot of energy, not necessarily emotionally intense. It could even be a comedy scene. But when you have to do it repeatedly, I think it does. You know, on that day for me, success is like, thank God I didn't let that get in the way of what I'm doing.
Yeah, you got through it.
And I think, you know, I'm 44 now, Abhay, and I think I've begun to therefore measure success in different ways.
Yeah.
Success is being in good health, or at least striving towards being in good health, physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, in every way you possibly can.
Right.
About being present in the moment, also about savoring the little moments, not just that. Of course, success is, we our successes and failures are very obvious to the world. So those successes also, you know, one cherishes and celebrates, yeah. But also these things, you know, on a day-to-day basis, how do you feel at the end of the day? Do you feel like, you know, you made today count, and not necessarily by doing, sometimes even by not doing.
It's almost you have, you know, successes that are both small and big. And maybe you are grateful for the little successes, maybe even more. Is this something that you've had to really cultivate as you've grown older, as you've gotten more mature and evolved in your career? And I wonder, like, is there clearly also a liberation that happens as you evolve to be able to let go of things in a way?
Most definitely. You know, I'm someone who spends a lot of my time thinking, introspecting. I work with a healer, so I spend a lot of time dissecting, analyzing, just expressing myself. So I think that has led me to understand that there is no one way to describe, define, measure anything. There's no one yardstick, and that includes success, right? So that definitely comes with maturity, with experience, and I think it's very valuable. You know, I think there have been times when I've driven myself to a point of exhaustion where, you know, at the end of it, sometimes you feel like, was it really worth it?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's hard. That's a tough question to ask even yourself.
Yeah, because, you know, at what cost? I think today I want to savor every moment. I think that's what it is. So even if I'm like, if there is a day when I'm giving into that desire not to do anything, I want to be doing nothing at all, guilt-free, fearlessly.
And you know, that goes back to that word liberation, right? Like giving yourself license to just say, hey, look, I'm not going to feel guilty because I did X or Y. And with that in mind, does it allow you to explore better and differently, take risks differently, both in a personal and professional capacity?
Most definitely. I think it just, you know, firstly, it frees up mind space, right? Because otherwise, you're focusing on the must and the shoulds and and do's and don'ts and all of that. And suddenly, I wouldn't say I'm free of it every single day.
Yeah.
But I am work in progress.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm in a much better place today because also, like I said, you know, I'm in a profession where you get told that out of sight is out of mind. So you're thinking that, to keep myself relevant, I have to be constantly working, or I have to be constantly putting myself out there. I don't think any of that is true.
Yeah.
I think you dictate how you want your life to be.
Yeah.
I don't see any rules to be. I will do exactly what I want to do. And I think I'm getting a little more fearless, a little more shameless.
Yeah.
You know, I'm guessing so some people could call it that, but day by day, and I'm enjoying it up here. I think it is freeing, you know, not to have to do anything you don't want to be doing.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with actor Vidya Balan. Stay tuned. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. This is Sid Sriram, and you're now listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi, this is Farhan Akhtar.
Hi, guys. I'm Ananya Pandey.
Hi, this is Madhuri Dixit, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with Vidya Balan.
Let me ask you this. I mean, so in that same spirit, definitely thinking of how those taglines then are in the spirit of relevancy, right? I remember these past few months seeing a cover on Filmfare where it says Vidya Balan Lady Boss, or one from Femina is that Vidya Balan on her own terms.
Right.
I'm curious about those taglines because the Indian film industry and media have a lot of institutional tradition and institutional taglines that they label people and keeping with that same sort of relevancy. Yet, at like you said, you know, feeling liberated requires disruption. It requires you to
yes.
think differently. It requires you to sort of upend things. And so for someone whose roles as a female actor have been so strong and so bold, and they're authentic to who you are, what kind of disruption maybe is needed to see more women holding levers of power so that, you know, people can be bosses and can be, you know, thinking on their own terms, as opposed to what the industry says you have to do?
I think I love the name of your show, therefore, which says, Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. I think more women need to trust that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's not just knowing what you're doing, but to go ahead and... But I think once you know, once you trust yourself, you'll trust everything that you do. You'll trust everything that you say. You'll trust everything that you want from life. You're not going to judge it. You're going to be unapologetic. You know, so I think because we're constantly waiting for approval and validation, and that's not going to change overnight because this is, you know, centuries of conditioning. But I think we are at a place where, and credit to all those women who came before us, you know, our mothers and our grandmothers and our great grandmothers, and it is their burning desire that has brought us to this point. You know, where we're at least able to have this conversation and say, okay, maybe I do know what I'm doing. Maybe I'm capable of knowing what I'm doing. Maybe it's okay for me to know what I'm doing, because we don't even allow ourselves that space and that permission to think that, forget, do that, to live that. You know, so I definitely think that it's this. We are, and you fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
You know, just keep saying, I trust what I'm doing until you actually begin to trust it.
Can I ask you, because in a way, with the celebrity that you mentioned earlier, is there a framework of, you know, as a celebrity, that you feel also that notion of responsibility? Is that an automatic, or is that something that you have to really develop and recognize and say, yes, boy, this is my responsibility to, in fact, uplift other women with me, or for that matter, be respectful for the women who have preceded me, in order for the true disruption to happen. And
no,
you know, does that make sense, by the way?
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. But, you know, I this might sound completely politically incorrect, but I'm responsible towards no one but me.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I feel, and it is each one's responsibility to do that for ourselves. I have no tall notions of being able to change anyone else's life. I have no misconceptions that I can actually empower anyone.
Yeah.
The only person I can empower is me.
Yeah.
And that is work in progress on a daily basis. So
right.
by example, if you're going to watch me, or if I say something, if I share my experience, that touches you, that strikes a chord, and maybe, you know, then maybe something could happen. But I'm not here to do that. I'm here to live my life as honestly as I can, being present in the moment, being true to myself, being trying to be authentic at most times. I think, you know, and if all of us began to do that, sorry, it's my personal opinion, that I think we will have a world where we don't need someone else to do it for us.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's you have that that self-assurance, again, that trust, that confidence that you're being authentic to yourself as best as you can, and it emanates.
And that is the most empowering thing you can do.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, and it sounds so much like this is, again, a work in progress for you to feel content and at peace with that. And as you become more content and at peace with your work, does it ever, I mean, there's a tension sometimes. Does it ever come at the cost of drive and ambition and achievement and perfection? You know, because feeling at peace and content with yourself hopefully also is married to ambition and creativity and the things that you're exploring too.
Actually, more than we're willing to admit.
Yeah.
I think what I've realized in the pandemic, actually, what I've realized is that, you know, you can, my father narrated this little thing to me when I was very little. And from time to time, he would repeat this story. And it's not even a story. It's like he would tell me that, you know, if you chase a butterfly, it will fly away. But if you sit still, the butterfly will come and sit on your shoulder.
Yeah.
So, it's about, yeah, and ambition, drive, all of that, I think, go hand in hand with actually being at peace, about valuing yourself more. You don't have to kill yourself to get somewhere. And, you know, like most of us, human beings, and especially women, have been brought up to believe that you constantly need to do to justify your presence in the world.
Yeah.
I think now is the time that we need to unlearn that.
It's funny you mentioned the unlearning part, because there's so much always to unspool when you find that stillness, when you find that quiet, when you find that peace, you recognize that there's so many layers that you have to take off. And then unfortunately, you probably find yourself putting them right back on again. And every day, like you said, is a work in progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was thinking of some of the similarities and differences, perhaps with some of your roles, whether that is Parinita and The Dirty Picture and Tumhari Sulu and Mission Mangal, and now this last summer's Niyat. And I was wondering if you're someone who in general enjoys reinvention and finds it curious to reimagine yourself and self-rebuilding, if you will, in each one of these roles. And not just beyond, not just the lift of prepping for a new role, but in fact, in general, like part of the ongoing learning process for yourself, that there is a reimagining of what you could do differently today or what you could do differently tomorrow.
I have to admit, I don't think I'm consciously wired like that, but I am very, I feel I'm changing, aren't we all, on a day-to-day basis. Hopefully we are learning and growing and evolving. You know, so I can't be doing the same thing again and again. It's tiresome. It's exhausting. You know,
I crave that.
I do crave that. I crave a newness all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm in something, I give it my all. I think I don't have, I'm left with nothing more to give to what I've done. Therefore, I have to move on from there. You know, it's just a thirst, it's a hunger, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's just about seeing myself trying to, I think I want to see different, I want to tap into different aspects of myself as an actor and therefore as a person, you know, because that is a given.
Right.
So I think because it's, otherwise it's, everything can be so dull and boring.
Yeah, and I wonder if that also makes it clear to those around you that it's about relationship development, not only with those around you per se, but also the relationship that you're continuing to develop with yourself.
Oh, yes.
Right? So some would say that, like, well, I enjoy being a shapeshifter, or I enjoy and crave differences and change, and yet it doesn't take you away from the foundation or the anchor of who you are. Again, hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I think, and I have more women on my team than men. It was not a conscious choice, but it just so happened. And I think it's so interesting when you have conversations. I think we are all, you know, our journeys are so unique. And yet we are all moving towards that, you know, towards understanding ourselves better. It is very scary sometimes. It is very daunting sometimes. And yet we're charting our own course and we're finding meaning. And when we say finding meaning, it's actually getting to know who you are. You know, so that relationship with the self is, I think to me, I think no one's ever put it as beautifully. I completely agree that it is about relationships. For me, relationships are the most important in my life, starting with the one I have with myself.
Right.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with actor Vidya Balan. Stay tuned. Every story told is a lesson learned, and every lesson learned is a story waiting to be told. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Cal Penn. I'm an actor, author, former public servant, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tam France.
Hi, I am Rahul Mishra.
Hi, my name is Richa Morjani, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Hi there. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with Vidya Balan.
You know, we started talking earlier, we started with talking about impressions of people who are, when they first meet you, and perhaps what they're surprised by or what those first thoughts are. You're married to someone in the industry, in Siddharji, and a producer and someone who's also ensconced in this. And of course, your art and persona are, again, quite public. But this same process that we were just talking about as far as self-discovery and realizing that relationship with yourself, what is it at all perhaps taught you, especially in your own personal life, about privacy and the comfort of, you know, or maybe even discomfort of going through this alone and yet in that very, very public fashion?
You know, I think Siddharth is an extremely private person.
Yeah,
I'm not as private. He's a very social person. I'm not as social. But so it's a very interesting dichotomy, you know.
Yeah.
Because he's very comfortable around people, and yet he's very private. Whereas I'm not so. I'm happy. I'm very happy with myself.
Yeah.
And yet I'm very open with people. But having said that, I think I realize that privacy or the lack of it can be defined by me, for me. You know, for example, I never put up any personal pictures on social media. Whether it's with Siddharth or with my family, I'm not comfortable with it. And for example, my sister and my brother-in-law are extremely successful advertising professionals. And, you know, I don't feel the need to, I don't know.
You don't have to share. Yeah.
Yeah, not just share. You know, I don't feel like sharing sometimes, but I share it with the people around me. But I feel like I'm not necessarily wanting to announce what they're doing. What Siddharth and I do is invariably public. So especially sure. Work-wise, you get to know. But our personal lives are very, very private. And I like it that way. You know, it's not open for... I don't allow anyone the space to come in and pry or make judgments or.
Yeah. You know, in the same, I've heard people say it this way also, that like, you know, and maybe this is not completely enmeshed in this, maybe it's a slightly separate issue, but that, you know, when you're a celebrity, perhaps people automatically assume that you have some degree of extroversion. And separating that out from privacy is important in a way. And it may be as you go through this, you learn to which are the guardrails that are important to you and which are the guardrails that really matter to you, but no one necessarily respects those guardrails in a way.
Yeah, because like I said, you know, they mistake you for, there is a feeling in them that they know you because they've seen so much of you.
Right, right.
Right? But that's not necessarily true. And not necessarily, it's not true. So I think, but therefore some healthy boundaries get breached sometimes because they're expecting you to be who you were on screen, sometimes affable, sometimes icy, sometimes, you know, whichever character they're related with. And that's very tough. But I realized early on that, you know, it's my life and I owe no one an explanation as to where I am, what I'm doing. And I call the shots in my life. And if someone sees that as disrespectful, so too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think this is how I like it. And that's how, therefore, I keep it.
You know, I'll again, that must be very energizing more than anything else, because it allows you to set those boundaries.
Yeah, and cuts the noise.
It cuts the noise.
You know,
right.
It really, yeah.
You know, you're about to turn 45. And
yes.
I'm curious to think about this thought, which is, as you go through this, you know, milestone, what are some of the questions that you're hoping to continue asking yourself? What are some of those things that you're hoping to, in fact, continue to learn and in a way kind of go through that same process of self-discovery as now you pass this milestone?
You know that no 2 days are the same.
Yeah.
And I am not the same person I was yesterday.
Yeah.
So that will throw up questions. I don't know what kind of questions, but I think what is it that I want is something I want to focus on always. You know, because I think we all get carried away by the noise, especially being in the public glare, especially considering that even audiences, like I said, have an opinion on what you do. And
all the time, right?
Yeah. And you know, you feel compelled to, like I said, be someplace, do something just to, I want to be true to myself. I want to at least try to be as true as I can to myself at all times. So whatever questions it throws up, I'm willing to go through it, even if it's agonizing.
Yeah. Well, and
I want to be able to enjoy life up here, every moment of it, just being me, you know?
I think stakeholders and fans and people around you, those who you have relationships with, both old and new, I think are learning and discovering that. I'll end with one thing. You know, when people, let's imagine that there are people who are just discovering you and they're seeing your art or your film work for the very first time, or they're meeting you for the first time.
Yeah.
What do you hope are some of the things that they're feeling once they do that for the first time, perhaps, or maybe some of the questions that they're asking?
I hope I'm able to bring a smile to their faces or, you know, make them laugh, make them feel better in some way. I don't know how, but I'm hoping somehow that happens. What if I'm able to make them feel like each of them can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing.
I'm sure they would love that. I'm sure we would all love that. But
more than anything else,
learning that you're staying true to who you are, super authentic and super humble and super talented. Vidya, thank you so much for joining. This was really a treat. And I hope we can visit with you again sometime down the road.
Yes, absolutely. This was easy, breezy and enjoyable. Thank you, Abhay, for that. And it's so lovely that being a pediatrician, you're still doing this, you know. More power to you. And I can't emphasize enough how much I love the name of your show.
Thank you.
And yes, and then we catch up whenever. Happy 2024.
Thanks so much, Vidya. And you can find all episodes of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing wherever you listen to or watch your podcasts. And again, thanks so much for any kind ratings or reviews. Hope everyone so far is enjoying a new year that's filled with peace and health. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.